We had stray cats on the ranch, but we wouldn't have them for long. Not if I had anything to say about it. I left Pete and Drover and marched straight over to the two bales of hay. I knocked on Madam Kitty's door. Well, tapped on one of the bales, actually, since she didn't have a... I wanted to alert her to the fact that I was there to serve a warrant. Madam? Madam Kitty? Hello? She didn't answer. I heard only a bunch of little squeaks. I moved closer so that I could peer into the space between the bales. There she was, stretched out on the ground with six kittens lined up along her belly. I looked away. I mean, it didn't seem quite proper for me to be invading her privacy and staring at her. Hello? I know you're in there. May I have a word with you?
I'm busy. Could you come back later?
I know you're busy, and no, I can't come back later. We have urgent business to discuss.
Well, all right. Go ahead and talk. I can hear you. Just don't get too close.
Oh? Why is that?
Well, I might have to knock your block off.
My ears perked up on that. Knock my block off? Is that what you said? You, a shrimpy little cat who's breaking the law, might knock my block off? Ha! That's funny. Her little voice reached my ears again.
I'm sorry to put it that way, but we mother cats have powerful reactions to dogs and loud noises. I don't want to do anything crazy.
Oh, well, good. I'd hate for you to do anything crazy.
See, I slugged a dog just a few minutes ago. I didn't want to, but he stuck his nose in here and he barked. He shouldn't have been here. He shouldn't have done that. I felt bad about it. Was he a friend of yours?
We're still debating that issue, madam. We're not sure what he is, but I know the little mutt, yes.
Please tell him I'm sorry, and please tell him not to do that again, or I'll have to knock his block off.
It was kind of funny hearing such tough language from such a timid little cat. I enjoyed a private chuckle, and then returned to the unpleasant business of being head of ranch security. I cleared my throat. All right, ma'am. I'm here to inform you of your rights. You don't have any. I'm sorry you chose to bring your litter of kittens to my haystack, but you did, and now you have to leave. There was a moment of silence.
But how can I leave?
I have no idea. No doubt it won't be easy, but surely you're not the first cat in history to face this challenge. You'll think of something. And just remember, this is your problem, not mine. I'm just doing my job. I'll be back in 2 or 3 hours. I sincerely hope you'll be gone. Silence. Hello? Did you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best.
Great. Doing our best is the best we can do. I wish you luck on your long journey away from here. Goodbye. I marched away, feeling slightly... Well, how would you feel, ordering a scrawny mother cat and her six children off your place? It didn't make me feel real proud of myself, to be honest about it. But that's the price you pay for being head of ranch security. This job is more than cookies and milk. Sugar and spice, whatever. Whatever it is, it's not always pleasant. But that was my problem, and I would have to figure out how to live with it. And I would. I marched back to Drover. He had been watching, and he said, "What happened?" I told her to clear out. I told her she couldn't keep her kittens on this ranch. His eyes widened.
"You told her that? That's awful."
"What's awful about it? We're paid to enforce ranch law, Drover."
"Yeah, but she's a mother."
"Right. Every mother on earth is a mother. Your mother was a mother."
Yeah, but...
If your mother had dumped a litter of kittens on this ranch, I would have thrown her off, too.
Yeah, but she never would have done a thing like that.
Oh? What makes you so sure?
Well, she was a dog, and dogs can't have kittens.
I gave him a glare of purest steel. Are you trying to make a mockery of this investigation? Do I need you to tell me that your mother couldn't have had kittens?
Well, I...
You take a mole and make a mountain out of it, Drover.
No, she was a dog, just a plain old dog.
What are you talking about?
My mother, dear old Mom, she was just a dog.
Of course she was a dog. What's your point?
You said she was a mole, but she wasn't.
His lower lip began to tremble.
And I don't think it's very nice of you to say that she was a mole.
I took a deep breath of air, walked a few steps away, and tried to clear the sawdust and cobwebs out of my head. I looked up at the clouds. I studied the trees on the horizon. Only then did I return to Drover and his lunatic conversation. Let's start again, Drover, and just forget about your mother. A tear slid down his cheek.
First you call her an ugly mole, then you tell me to forget about her. And now you're going to throw that poor little mother cat off the ranch. Sometimes I just think you're terrible.
Will you dry up? What's the big deal about the cat? Have you forgotten that she slapped you on the nose?
Yeah, but I deserved it. If I'd been a mother cat and I'd barked at my kittens, I would have slugged me too.
Wait a second. Hold it. Halt. Say that again. I missed something.
Well, let's see here.
He sat down, hiked up his leg, and began scratching his left ear. I gave him a scowl. Must you scratch while we're talking?
It helps me think. Now, let's see. If I were a cat with 6 kittens, and then if I were a dog without any kittens...
Stop right there. If you were a cat, you couldn't be a dog.
Yeah, but this is just plaque.
I stared into the vast emptiness of his eyes. What is plaque?
Plaque. Only you can shorten it to plaque and save some time.
I have a better idea for saving some time. Why don't you shut your trap and stop spreading chaos and confusion? You get me so messed up, I don't know whether it's raining or Tuesday.
It's Wednesday.
Hush, Drover, and let's get some work done. We have our ranch to run.
Yeah, but my mother wasn't an ugly mole.
Okay, Drover, she wasn't a mole.
Or ugly.
She wasn't an ugly mole, and I never said she was, but never mind. Let's get back to work. And please hush.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I hurried away before he could say anything that might send me over the edge of the brink. You know, there are times when I think that Drover is really and truly... I don't even have a word for it, so let's just skip it. Slim had just finished topping out his load of hay. He'd stacked it 6 high on the flatbed. It appeared to be a pretty decent job of stacking, but of course he would need to tie it down with a couple of ropes. I mean, that was a standard precaution we followed on the ranch. Driving over rough ranch roads, a guy could plant bales of hay in spots where he didn't want them to be. Slim jumped down, dusted off his hands, and studied the load.
What do you think, Pooch? Is that the best job of stacking you ever saw?
It was a pretty good load, but it needed to be tied down.
You know, I don't have any ropes with me. And you know what else?
Our eyes met. I gave my tail slow wags, as if to say, surely you're not thinking. He grinned.
That's such a bodacious fine job of stacking. I think it'll ride all the way to the pasture without ropes.
See, I knew it. Too lazy to go back to the saddle shed for ropes.
That'll make up for some of the time we wasted on that fence. Come on, pup, load up, and let's get this show on the road.
Okay, fine. I tried to warn him, but had he listened? Oh, no. Who was I, after all? Merely the head of ranch security. Just a dumb dog who happened to know quite a bit more about hauling hay than Mr. Slim Chance did, and who could smell disaster in the wind. You just wait and see what happened. Okay, maybe we didn't lose the load right away, but it was sheer good luck that kept it together, not Slim's stacking job. And for the record, let me say that I watched it in the side mirrors as we drove along. You know that big pothole in the county road just west of the... Well, maybe you don't know it since you've never... There was a big pothole in the Caliche Road just west of the low water crossing. And when we hit it with the right rear tire, I thought the load was going to quit us. I watched it in the mirror and held my breath. So did Slim. When it didn't fall, he winked at me and grinned.
Yeah. Solid as a brick wall.
Yeah, right. And when you're lucky, you don't need skill or brains. We turned left onto the road that led into the Dutcher Creek pasture and rumbled over the cattle guard. I kept one eye on the mirror and one eye on Slim. The load held. Again, he gave me a wink and a grin. I don't know why he had to make such a big deal out of it. Had we bet a large sum of money on it? No. I had merely expressed my opinion. And besides that, the day wasn't over. We still had several miles of ranch roads to cover on our feed run. And that right rear corner looked pretty cushy to me. We passed Slim's house. Actually, it was a shack. A little cow camp shack that showed the effects of being lived in by a bachelor cowboy. Does that make sense? Maybe not, so let me put it another way. If you'd been driving along and someone had pointed to Slim's place and said, "A bachelor cowboy lives there," you wouldn't have been surprised. Fact one. The outside of the shack was decorated with black tar paper. Why? Because Slim and Loper had never gotten around to finishing it out with shingles or siding. They had begun the project years ago, but it had gotten derailed. What had been their excuse?
"We'll finish it up when we get caught up on this ranch work," they had said.
Huh. They'd never caught up on the ranch work, and the outside of his shack had remained black and ugly. But you know what else? Slim couldn't have cared less. Black was probably his favorite color, if he had a favorite color. If he could even see color, and I'm not sure he could. Fact two. The curtains in the windows were the same curtains that had been there when he'd moved in. Only now they were quite a bit dustier and fadeder, more faded, shall we say, than before. I doubt that he'd ever touched them. I know for a fact he'd never cleaned them. As far as I could tell, they served only one purpose: to hide the fly specks on his windows and the piles of dead Miller moths on the sills. Fact three. His yard showed all the love and care that a bachelor could give. None. There might have been five sprigs of buffalo grass in that yard, but mostly it was Russian thistles, soapweed, sunflowers, cockleburrs, and gourd vines. When strangers came to visit, about once every 2 years, they often pointed to the gourd vines and said, "My, your watermelons are doing great." And Slim would say,
"Yup, but I have to work at it."
Right. I happen to know that in 5 years, Slim had spaded up his yard 3 times. How do I know that? Because that's the number of times his sewer had stopped up, and he'd had to turn some dirt to reach the cleanout. Oh, and have we mentioned his flowers? He had flowers in the yard. There was one little patch of iris on the south side of the house. They'd probably been there for 50 years and had somehow managed to survive. I don't know if they'd ever bloomed. If they did, he'd probably rush out and spray them with poison to keep them from messing up his tar paper color scheme. Fact 4. He had a clothesline in the backyard. The posts were made of old 4x4 timbers with 2x4 cross arms. They'd probably been put there by buffalo hunters in the 1870s, and they looked like two old rugged crosses with one strand of galvanized wire strung between them. And as you may know, his clothesline was always loaded down with clothes. This might have fooled some people into thinking that Slim was neat and clean. That's a laugh. We dogs knew the true story. He washed his clothes maybe once a month and then left them flapping on the line so that he wouldn't have to fold them or put them in a drawer. Anyways, that was Slim's shack, and we drove past it on the way to feed the Dutcher Creek cows. Slim guided the pickup down a little hill and parked in a grassy flat west of the creek. There he honked the horn and called the cows in his usual manner by cupping his right hand around his mouth and yelling,
"Woo! Woo, cow!"
His cow calling always hurt my ears, and it always caused his Adam's apple to jump around. Whilst we waited for the cows to come in, he picked through the litter on the floor of the pickup and came up with an old yeller copy of the Twitchell Picayune. Does anybody know what a Picayune is or why it became the name of a newspaper? Not me. Anyways, he found the paper and began reading it. I don't know why he bothered. It was the same paper he'd been carrying around and reading for 2 months. Oh, and it had an oil stain on the front page where he'd used it to clean the dipstick. That was the one day he hadn't used my ear. He scrunched down in the seat, tipped the brim of his hat down to his nose, propped the paper on the steering wheel, and began reading. To me, it seemed as though I were interested, which I wasn't. "Huh. Get this. Penny Scribner had triplets. That'll keep old Johnny busy, trying to feed all them hungry babies." He read some more. "I'll be darned. The Baptist ladies are having a bake sale. I bet it's a good one. Them old gals can sure cook." He rattled the paper and turned to the inside page. "Hey, get a load of this classified ad. To the owner of the ugly black dog. Your dog killed 3 of my laying hens last Thursday. If you don't tie him up, I will, and his feet won't touch the ground. Signed, Bobby Barnett." He turned to the back page. I watched as he squinted his eyes, changed the angle of his head, and moved the paper around. "Either they smudged the ink on this thing or I'm going blind. I may be forced to go to the dime store and try on their bifocals, if they ever put them on sale. You reckon bifocals would spoil my good looks?" Suddenly I realized that he was staring at me. What was the question? My mind had, wandered, it seemed. "Hank, if you don't start paying closer attention to this conversation, I'm liable to get my feelings hurt and quit talking." He went back to the paper. "A lot of dogs would give anything to feed cattle with me and listen to my sparkling conversation. Say, listen to this. Texas leads the nation in the production of bat manure." A guy never knows what he'll learn reading the Picayune. He folded it up and laid it back on the floorboard. I blinked my eyes and yawned. I had spent more exciting times watching ants. I guess he noticed.
What's the deal? You bored?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
You want me to sing you a song?
No, thank you.
Okay, since you asked, since you begged and pleaded, since you love my singing, and since you've got such great taste in music, I'll sing you one song, but just one. Don't ask for two.
Oh, brother. Well, here's what he did. Sang, whatever. There was a handsome cowboy who lived all alone in a tar paper shack he'd made into a home. The ladies all loved him and banged on his door, but he sent them away and made them all cry in their sorrow. Wasn't because he didn't like pretty women, and for a thought he didn't need a touch of the feminine. He did and he knew it, cause his shack was a mess, but he was deeply devoted to his best pal named Hanky the Wonder Dog. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake little doggy, I wish you could sing but I know that you can't. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy. The sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. Now Hank and his master fed cattle all day, all truckloads and truckloads of alfalfa hay. Come evening, they found themselves back at the house. Slim cooked them a supper of steak and lobster and green beans. And then they sat down for an evening of fun. Slim read him the Picayune till a quarter to one. Hank begged him to sing with his wonderful voice, so he sang many songs, and Hank really loved them a whole bunch. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy, I wish you could sing, but I know that you can't. Yippee-ti-yi-yo, stay awake, little doggy, the sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. The sunshine is bright, Hank, but I know that you ain't.
He finished his so-called song and gave me a big grin.
Well, what do you think of that one, Hanky boy?
I thought that was about the dumbest song I'd ever heard. Not only was it incorrect and full of baloney, but half of his lines didn't even rhyme. Furthermore, it was clear to me that Slim needed to find a job that gave him less idle time. Oh, and I'd heard the part about the sunshine is bright, but I know that you ain't. Not funny. Not funny at all. But of course, he got a big chuckle out of it.
Yep, you're a very lucky dog, Hank. Not only do I read the paper to you, but I write songs for you and perform them live and in person. Sometimes I wonder, though, if you really appreciate all the swell things I do for you.
Well, I could clear that one up right away. I didn't appreciate any of it. His paper reading aloud was totally boring, and his singing reminded me of a windmill that needed grease. And next time he wanted me to go feed with him, I would stay home. He yawned and looked out the window.
Well, looks like we've got the cows. Reckon they came up to hear my singing?
He rolled up his window.
Better shut this winder or I'll have alfalfa leaves in this pretty pickup.
He started the motor, put her in compound, let out on the clutch, opened the door, and stepped out.
Well, Pooch, I'll throw off the hay and you can drive.
He slammed the door and left me alone in the moving pickup.
Are you shocked that Slim would step out of a moving pickup and leave me alone in the cab? It sounds pretty dangerous. But it really wasn't. We did it all the time, Slim and I. See, when two men feed hay, one drives while the other cuts the wires of the bales and throws the hay off on the ground. When only one guy feeds, he puts the pickup in the lowest gear, climbs up on top of the load, and does the so forth. The purpose of this procedure is to make sure the hay gets scattered over a long line. If you don't scatter the hay, the biggest cows and the ones with horns will end up with all the grub. You're probably amazed that a dog would know so much about the business of feeding hay to livestock. Well, I have to admit that it's pretty amazing, but it's the sort of thing a head of ranch security has to know about and understand. A lot of your ordinary ranch mutts pay no attention to such matters. They just sit there in the pickup, looking out the window and saying, duh. Or they sleep. Drover sleeps. He knows nothing about haying livestock, even though he spent most of his life on a ranch. And the reason is that he sleeps all the time and doesn't pay attention. It hurts me to say that about Drover, but it's true. Oh, and one more thing about the moving pickup maneuver. It only works if you have a wide, flat area, a feed ground, as we call it. If you're in rough country with hills and ravines and canyons, you can get yourself into a world of trouble. I guess you can see why. It wouldn't be funny if the pickup ran off a cliff whilst the driver was up on top of the hay. But never fear. We had us a nice flat feed ground just west of the creek. There was no chance of the pickup running amok. On flat ground, it steered itself, don't you see? And if it ever started heading towards the creek, Slim would jump down and steer it back on course. Or, I had never actually tried to steer the pickup myself. I mean, that would have been asking a lot of a dog, even a head of ranch security, but what was the big deal about steering a pickup? Heck, little Alfred was steering the pickup for his daddy when he was 3 years old. When little Alfred was 3 years old, not Loper. When Loper was 3 years old, Alfred was just a baby. Now wait. When Loper was 3 years old, Alfred wasn't even born. Okay, but the point is that steering a slow-moving pickup was no big deal. And I had a feeling that if Slim or Loper ever asked me to do it, I could handle it. All you have to do is keep her between the ditches, as they say, or to bring it closer to home, keep her out of canyons and creek bottoms. Anyways, the pickup was chugging along in first gear, which we ranch dogs refer to as Grandma Low, or Granny Low, or Grandma, or Granny. Or sometimes compound. Why do we call it compound? I have no idea. I sat up in the seat and watched the scenery up ahead. Through the side mirrors, I couldn't see Slim, but I could see the signs of his work. Alfalfa leaves flying around in the wind and blocks of hay landing on the ground. He was busy. That was good. Maybe it would take his mind off of singing. I must admit that it made me feel kind of important, sitting up there in the seat of that big old pickup, all by myself, the only dog within miles. I mean, it was kind of like, being the captain of a steamboat or a battleship or something. You're the only dog on the bridge. That's what they call the cab of a ship, a bridge. Anyways, you're the only so forth, and you look through the windows at the vast ocean in front of you, and, you can steer the ship if you want. The wheel is right there in the bridge. And all you have to do to steer that huge ship and make it change course is, place one paw on the wheel and push down, which I did. And sure enough, the ship pickup, actually, the ship changed course to the right. or to the starboard bow, as we ship captains call it. See, in the steamboat and battleship business, we never say left or right. That would be too common, and we don't use common terms. We say starboard and... Where did that big rock come from? There was a big rock dead ahead, and I was pretty sure it hadn't been there just a minute before. Or if it was, I hadn't seen it, and although it wasn't a huge rock, it was pretty big. No problem. Ship captains encounter rocks all the time. Also islands, ice cubes, and coral reefs. Icebergs, not ice cubes. An ice cube would be no sweat. Say, that's kind of a play on words, isn't it? An ice cube is no sweat. Get it? I get a kick out of messing around with words and... Oh yeah, the rock. Well, what can I say? I'd gotten all wrapped up in the excitement of being the captain of a naval battleship and had more or less forgotten to steer a course around the rock. No problem. The ship went over it. The pickup went over it, shall we say. And while it caused us to bump and lurch from side to side, we came through it with smiling colors. Flying colors, I guess it should be. We came through the scary ordeal with flying colors. In fact, it was kind of fun. Calm seas are nice for some people and dogs, but those of us with a taste for adventure and danger... I froze. My eyes were locked on the right side mirror. Why had Slim thrown off that big pile of bales in one spot? I mean, the whole purpose of feeding hay from a moving vehicle was to scatter it out, right? So why had he dumped... My goodness, there must have been 10 bales on the ground. Well, I would have to talk to Slim about this. I knew he was impatient sometimes and had a tendency to be... How can I put this? Might as well just blurt it out. He had a tendency to be lazy. And no doubt he'd gotten lazy and had dumped a bunch of bales on the ground in one spot. Well, there was no excuse for that. If you're gonna do a job, you might as well... There was a leg sticking out of those bales. I'm not kidding. I saw it with my own eyes. In the mirror on the right side of the pickup. It appeared to be a human leg with a boot on the end of it. And an arm? A human arm? Dear Gussie, this was a real puzzler. Who or whom could that be? I mean, when you see an arm and a leg, you naturally assume that... Well, you assume there's more. Other body parts. A person. Okay, a pattern began to develop here. Some unknown person had been walking around in our Dutcher Creek pasture. Why? We still didn't know. And another thing we didn't know was why Slim had decided to dump about 10 bales of hay on him. Wait, hold everything. Remember that rock? You'd probably forgotten about it, right? Well, we ran over a rock which caused the pickup to lurch, and it's coming fast now, so hang on. Remember what I said about tying down the load with ropes? Slim chose not to do it, right? And remember my observation that the right rear corner of the load appeared to be cushy? Ha! Huh. Well, guess what? Just as we'd passed that stranger in the pasture, the pickup had lurched over the rock, causing the load to shift suddenly to one side and spilling 20 bales on top of the poor, hapless stranger. There you are. The mystery was solved. And guess who had predicted it? Not Slim, fellers. It was me. I had known... Wait a minute. What were the chances of encountering a total stranger in the Dutcher Creek pasture? And what were the chances that our load of hay would fall on top of him, burying every part of him but one leg and one arm? Not great. No chance at all. Out of the question. Okay, so whose arm and leg? I stared into the side mirror. A head appeared from the rubble of hay bales. I recognized the head. It belonged to Slim.
I'm sorry, but I broke into a fit of uncontrollable laughter. I know it's tacky to laugh at the misfortunes of others, but think about it. It was so fitting, so right, so heavy with justice and irony. I mean, here was the guy who'd been too lazy to tie down his load with ropes, right? Who'd been warned by the head of ranch security that we might lose the load, right? Well, by George, the chickens had come home to rot. Old Slim had chosen to do a sloppy job, and he'd gotten buried by his own load of hay. That was rich. I loved it. I could hardly wait to hear what he had to.
Huh?
Wait a minute. If Slim was back there, climbing out from under his stacking job, and if I was sitting in the seat of a moving... My eyes swung around to the front. We were heading straight for the creek bank.
Don't.
Okay, I'd seen just about enough. I hit the button for major alarm. Attention, all hands. This is your captain squeaking. Speaking, that is. We have veered off course and are heading for a disaster. Therefore, as your captain, I'm giving the order to abandon ship. At the end of this message, I will dive out the window. I urge the rest of you to save yourselves. Thanks for your loyal service and courage in the face of a crisis. Until we meet again, good luck, men. I signed off and glanced around the ship that had been my home upon the waters for so many months and years. Then, with a heavy heart, I went into a deep crouch and sprang upward and outward towards the vast sea from which we all... Was this a joke? Someone had... Somehow the window had... And then I remembered. And the total reality of my situation came crashing down upon me. Slim had rolled up the dadgum window. I was trapped inside a moving pickup that was...
Yikes!
Headed straight for the creek bank. Okay, this called for drastic measures. I had no choice but to hurl the full weight of my enormous body against the window and destroy it in a crash of flying glass. I hated to do that to Slim's pickup, but... Hey, was I going to ride that sucker all the way down into the bottomless waters of Wolf Creek? No way, Charlie. I was getting out of there. I took three deep breaths, loosened up the muscles in my shoulders, and prepared my mental energies for an emergency procedure we call... Doggy battering ram. We very seldom use it, and very seldom need to. Now, we needed to. And so it was that after preparing myself mentally and physically for this dangerous escape procedure, I coiled my legs under me, hurled myself like a cannonball at the window, and... Holy smokes. I was trapped inside a runaway pickup.